Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Now, White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
So welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Connor McKnight. Gorgeous day out at the ballpark here. Just absolutely fantastic. It's the White Sox and Mariners this afternoon. Mike Pelfrey goes for the Sox. Felix Hernandez goes for the Mariners. Both of them looking to put together a more solid and more consistent second half than perhaps their first half was. Mariners at 44 and 47. White Sox are 38 and 50. We are one game into the second half of the 2017 season. Lots to do on the show this afternoon before we take you all the way up to the White Sox pregame show, which starts at 5:35. First pitch 6:10 tonight with Ed and DJ. Mentioned the starters, Mariners, and White Sox here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Of course, the White Sox made probably, more than likely, the biggest news of this trading season just one day before the All-Star break ended. Right there on Thursday, the White Sox traded Jose Quintana, ace of the staff, a man who had been a part of this club for quite some time and been one of the more consistent starters in Major League Baseball. Traded Jose Quintana to the Chicago Cubs for a package of four prospects, one of them a top five prospect in baseball, and Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, a big-time arm with a triple-digit fastball, a guy who's somewhere in the top 75, likely, ranked by a number of different places, and then two others who the White Sox feel can be interesting players down the line as well. Certainly a gigantic and franchise-altering trade, the likes of which general manager Rick Hahn said this team was committed to making if the offer was right. And indeed, it does seem that the offer was right for Jose Quintana a number of different times, Rick Hahn said yesterday. And you'll hear from the general manager of the ball club a little bit later on this afternoon. You'll hear from some of his former teammates as well. You'll hear from pitching coach Don Cooper. We'll take you through the list of White Sox players and coaches who were close to Q here on this team as he departs and new players are brought in. But by and large, Rick Hahn said a couple of different times that the return they got for Jose Quintana just 2 days ago was the best return they'd had, was the best offer they'd had, even including the offseason last year when the White Sox were looking to make a couple of moves after the Chris Sale and Adam Eaton trades. So I want to get into the trade quite a bit, what it means for the White Sox, what Q meant to this club. I want to know hear from you as well. I know there is some bittersweetness attached to trading a guy like Jose Quintana, especially from a fan standpoint. He was, well, from this standpoint, too, a delight to watch go out there, even when he was struggling. And in the first, you know, six, seven starts of his 2017 season, he had struggled some. But, boy, a bulldog out there, some incredible talent, great location, great command, and a guy you're sorry to see go. However, you know, it was no mystery the path that the White Sox set themselves on over the offseason, and that it has continued here isn't that much of a shock. That is a trade with a club they haven't done business with in the last 11 years was somewhat of a surprise. That it was broken almost by the clubs themselves, save two Reddit users whose usernames we probably can't mention here on the air. The FCC would be all over us. Reddit users have some weird, weird names. But other than, you know, two obscure, you know, chat room folk, this trade was kind of unseen. Was essentially unseen by local and national media alike. So kind of a surprise on a lot of fronts there. Here's how you can get involved with the show, and I want to hear a lot from you today about what you think of the Jose Quintana trade, about what you think of where the White Sox are headed, and what you think the next couple of weeks may be like. You'll hear from Rick Hahn in a few minutes here on the show, and he'll tell you he expects there could be more action coming up in the next week or two up until the July 31st trading deadline. Should be a fun time, will be a hectic time, and I've always been, you know, a trade rumors guy. In covering the sport and in being a fan even before that, I always loved trade deadline season. Something about the chaos and the change and just the nuttiness of it all really got to me. I enjoy it. And I think for the White Sox this year, it's something you can't kind of sit back and enjoy some as the change kind of takes over this roster a little bit. And certainly already we've seen quite a bit of change just in the last 12 months on this 25-man roster and into the farm system too. 312-591-8900 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly today. 312-591-8900. You can always hit us on Twitter. At C1McKnight is the Twitter handle. That's how you can get in touch with the show all week long. In fact, a couple of things that y'all have been leaving on the Twitter, I don't know, handle, page, whatever it happens to be. We'll pick those up throughout the afternoon. We call it the mailbag. We'll get into the mailbag a bit some. The whole thing will be essentially a de facto farm report, though we will do a farm report a little bit later on in the show, too. Get you posted on what some of the White Sox prospects have been up to since their All-Star break. Well, the Triple-A All-Star break has ended, and we'll check in with some events from last night as well. And two, you know, Eloy Jimenez, here's the fun part. Both Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, two guys acquired by the White Sox for Jose Quintana, the top two guys in that deal. Both of them were playing for the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. They went over to the Winston-Salem Dash. The Winston-Salem Dash and the Myrtle Beach Pelicans were playing each other at the time of the trade, so Eloy and Dylan just kind of walked to the other side and exchanged their uniforms and played against their old mates over the last 2 days. So it's kind of been a crazy time for them as well, and a productive one too. Eloy's already got a couple of hits as a member of the White Sox organization. So that's what we're up to for the 2 hours here of White Sox Weekly. Do want to tell you, though, Sox fans, on Wednesday, July 26th at 7:10 p.m., your Chicago White Sox take on the Chicago Cubs. The first 10,000 fans will receive a White Sox lunch bag presented by United Airlines. United, proud to fly the Chicago White Sox. You can purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or by calling 866 Sox game. I do have a couple of, you know, news and notes, things to catch you up on as to where the White Sox, this 25-man roster, has been over the last couple of days. Some additions back into the lineup. Tyler Saladino is back from back issues. Last night, he had an opposite field RBI double. Nice to see Tyler back looking athletic. He turned two double plays, started one, and was the pivot man on the other. Really looked athletic, and it's nice to see Tyler back in the lineup. Also, Miguel Gonzalez is going to work back into the rotation for the White Sox. He'll take Tuesday's start against the Los Angeles Dodgers. In fact, the White Sox kind of moved around. Well, I shouldn't say moved around, but did make an adjustment or two, because you can't really move around the rotation when you're coming out of the All-Star break. It's just the rotation as you're coming out of the All-Star break. You've got so much time off. Mike Pelfrey makes the start this afternoon. He'll face Felix Hernandez. Derek Holland goes Sunday against the Seattle Mariners. That ball game here, it's a 1-10 start. The Mariners will be throwing Andrew Moore. He'll get the start for the Seattle Mariners. Then Tuesday it'll be Miguel Gonzalez making his return to the rotation. Carlos Rodon will work Wednesday against the Dodgers. And latest is from the Dodgers, they have not yet named their starters for the Tuesday and Wednesday games, so we'll just kind of have to wait and see. Dodgers have one off day, I think, in between. The White Sox actually have a kind of a strange little schedule coming out of the All-Star break. Three against the Mariners here, Friday, Saturday, today, and Sunday. Off day Monday, two against the Dodgers, then a Thursday off day, three in Kansas City, two on the road at Wrigley Field, and then two here at home against the Cubs at guaranteed rate. 312-591-8900 is the phone number here on the show. You can hit us on Twitter, too, at C1McKnight. When we come back, you'll hear some of the initial statements from the general manager, Rick Hahn, about the deal and about what the White Sox got back in this trade. These are his initial comments on a conference call to interested media. And, boy, there were a lot after this trade broke Thursday morning, right about 10:15, 10:30 or so local time. And we'll get you posted on what the White Sox got in return. We'll read through some scouting reports. We'll talk a bit about Q. And, of course, You'll hear from Derek Holland, Todd Frazier, Don Cooper, and a bit more from Rick Hahn and Ricky Renteria in this show, too. I'm Connor McKnight. This is White Sox Weekly. We've got you all the way up until 5:35. That's when we'll start the pregame show, White Sox and Mariners, here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Stay tuned. We're coming back with plenty more White Sox talk here on WLS AM 890.
Have a great weekend, John Raybank, Monday morning with our winners and losers.
We'll keep you up to date with the winners of the Mackinac race.
McGregor and Mayweather.
And who's winning in the White House?
Beginning 6 a.m. Monday morning, WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. Join us when the White Sox face the Cleveland Indians. Sunday, July 30th at 1:10 p.m., the first 15,000 fans will receive a White Sox water bottle presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I know for a fact it's the only water bottle used by Jason Benetti. Bring your business home to Bedford Park and win big. Visit WhiteSox.com to purchase your tickets today. Here's what we're doing on the show. Of course, the White Sox made some massive news. Perhaps the biggest news you could make this season, and the biggest news we could expect to be made this season, in trading Jose Quintana to none other than the Chicago Cubs. I think a number of things were, to me, incredibly interesting about this trade, and I'd love to know what y'all thought about moving Q. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. You can hit us on Twitter, too, at C1McKnight. Some of you chimed in, too, and we'll pick some of those up in the mailbag. First and foremost, the most interesting thing to me here was what the White Sox got back in return. Four different prospects were acquired, two of them big-time prospects. One of them, Eloy Jimenez, perhaps one of the best hitters in the minor leagues right now. We'll have to see how things pan out. And Eloy is in High A, Winston-Salem, right now. He has a massive amount of power. In fact, I remember seeing in a bunch of different, and you'll have to, I mean this as a term of endearment, in a bunch of the nerdier baseball realms, exit velocity, and I love it, exit velocity is reported quite a bit. And the reason that exit velocity has kind of grabbed some people's attention, well, they're multifold. But one is, it's kind of a sexy way to put a digit on a home run, right? Oh, this one went out at .112, and this one was .118. And my goodness, Aaron Judge just hit one .119.7, and nobody's ever hit a ball that hard before, ever. That's all well and good, but as Ed and DJ point out on the broadcast quite a bit, is that exit velocity on dingers, on the long ball, how much does that really matter? You know, I mean, it's fun to watch for, but as for, you know, what it necessarily tells you about a player, it's kind of up to debate. It may not tell you much at all. What exit velocity can tell you a lot about a player on, however, I think, maybe more line drives, maybe more ground balls, too, when you think about it. Because if you can put the barrel on the ball and move that baseball to the tune of, 110, 112, 114, 119 miles an hour on the ground, it's much less likely to be caught by an infielder, or an outfielder, for that matter. It's much less likely to be turned into an out. So by measuring, you know, the kind of speed you've got on contact on balls that aren't necessarily going to be caught by anybody, you know, the ones that go over the yellow line on top of the wall, maybe you find out some things about a player that things like batting average, balls in play, all this kind of stuff, all the measurements that we do use and are useful, don't get me wrong, are useful, but you start to try and weed out some of the uncertainty. You try and start to weed out some of the noise. All that's kind of a long explanation to saying this. When people find that Eloy Jimenez, the top prospect the White Sox got for Jose Quintana, is one of the guys clubbing baseballs, ground balls, at like 119 miles an hour, it starts to open up your eyes a little bit. And I think it tells you, too, a little bit about what the White Sox were concerned about getting back for a premier talent like Jose Quintana. You know, over the last 6-7 starts or so, Q had really kind of settled back to being Q. The ERA was right around the twos again. The walks had gone back down. The homers, I think in 40 innings since his last start against the Colorado Rockies when Nolan Arenado took him out. And believe me, you give one up to Nolan Arenado, that's a tip of the cap. He's an exceptional baseball player. But in the 40 innings in that start and prior, he'd only given up four home runs. That's one every 10, and that's a ratio that just about every starter in baseball would live with. So as Q kind of rounded back into shape, I think we saw slowly but surely that, yeah, the return here was going to be some of that top-tier stuff. And in particular, just exactly how the White Sox were going to evaluate what kind of top-tier stuff they wanted was always going to be interesting, at least to me, and I think to a lot of White Sox fans. The fact that they got back who they got back, generally speaking, a top-five prospect in baseball, an electric and really interesting arm in Dylan Cease, a guy who did have Tommy John surgery right after he was drafted, as memory serves. Cubs drafted him. He was slated to have the surgery or just coming off of the surgery. It was not an unknown thing. Cease is, again, like Eloy, still at high A, but touching triple digits. Just another triple-digit fastball, which they themselves can be kind of finicky, I suppose. While Michael Kopech is doing really well in Double-A Birmingham, he has a triple-digit fastball. Zach Birdie, who throws 100, looks like he's going to have Tommy John surgery. That news was given out by the White Sox general manager Rick Hahn yesterday. Zach Birdie likely headed for Tommy John. He's getting a second opinion, and our condolences to the Birdie family. He, Zach, and his brother Nick now in the Twins organization, both going through Tommy John surgery. It's tough. Those boys are incredibly resilient. I've met Zach and Nick briefly. Those guys are as tough cookies as you get, and all the best to them in their rehab work, for sure. I know we got a phone call out on the line. Why don't we bring that in now? How you doing, my man? What's on your mind?
Hey, Connor. Great show. I just wanted to know what you thought about this trade sort of pushing Jose Quintana to the forefront of baseball and finally being appreciated for how great of a pitcher he's been the last few years. You know, not a guy who throws 98, 99. He's never struck out more than 200 guys. But he's there. He's definitely a top 10 pitcher. Do you think he'll finally be appreciated for what a great – not only person he is, but great baseball player?
Great question, man. Absolutely great question. I think it's an interesting way to look at it, too, because I think slowly but surely, whether it be by the, you know, looking at the way we look at stuff, right? We've kind of figured out that the wins and losses for a starting pitcher may not mean as much as we thought it did. And maybe nobody stood out more to that point than Jose Quintana. I think, you know, people here on the South Side and White Sox fans for sure knew exactly how good he was. But I think the baseball community by and large might have let him, you know, slip under the radar some. I remember talking, the Comcast Sportsnet was nice enough to have me on the show when Q got traded, and Phil Rogers is talking. We were just having the debate. Where do you rank Q in current pitchers? And everybody had him right about top 15 or higher. And if you're a top 15 guy, that means you could slot in as a one on half the ball clubs in baseball. And I think, you know, for as good as that Cubs rotation was last year and as much as it struggled this year, I like John Lester a lot. He's a good dude. But, you know, heck, I'd probably put Q right at the top of that rotation if he's pitching like he did against the Rockies, if he's pitching like he did against his last couple opponents, in fact.
Connor, do you think this could turn into potentially a Hall of Fame career now, too? Because, unfortunately, you know, all-star games are part of the equation when people vote, and that's something the fans vote on, and then the writers vote people into the Hall of Fame. Do you think if he puts up the number he's put up the last 4 or 5 years, we're looking at a Hall of Fame baseball player?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think appreciate the phone call, my man. That's some interesting stuff. I wonder, because I think as we move on, and we had this conversation quite a bit when we had Mark Burley Day here at the ballpark, right? Doesn't have 300 wins, but does have 14 seasons of 200 innings, of 200 innings each and every season. That kind of consistency doesn't get found in baseball much anymore. That kind of durability isn't found in baseball so much anymore. And I don't think that's necessarily a shot at players today. I think that's just the way baseball has kind of turned around some. I would bet that you could find some starters in and around baseball who could go to the post that often and be out there for that long. But I think teams are much less willing to risk that with a guy like Clayton Kershaw or a guy who's getting paid $30 million a year. I think that's just kind of, you know, risk management or risk assessment. With Q, you know, you do have to wonder, the guy started his career at age 23 in 2012. Did not get to 200 innings that year. 136, though, isn't so bad for a guy who makes 22 starts. Remember, his first couple were out of the bullpen. Long relief, but out of the bullpen. 33 starts his next season, 32, then 32, then 32. Over 200 innings. I would guess that the strikeouts, which sit at a career 7.6 per nine, the strikeouts would have to come up a little bit. And I do think that I think the rest of the rates are pretty good, but the ERA, for whatever that's worth, and I think it's pretty clear that when a team like the Cubs goes out and acquires a guy who did have a 4.5 ERA when they traded for him, I think it's pretty clear teams are caring less about ERA now and looking at other stats and evaluating a pitcher. I don't know that Hall of Fame votes are going to shift that way as quickly as teams pretty clearly have in their evaluations of players. I think it's a great question. I think it'll be an interesting one to watch. And I know for a fact, I know a lot of White Sox fans have chimed in on Twitter and on the show saying they've wished nothing but the best for Jose Quintana because of the guy he was, the guy he is, while he was here. An incredibly well-respected guy, and I know his teammates liked him a lot. We'll get into some of those comments from his teammates and from the general manager, Rick Hahn. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. You can chime in on the phone, too. 312-591-8900. That's the phone number here on the show. You want to be a part of it. This is White Sox Weekly. 4 o'clock news is next. We'll continue talking over the trade of Jose Quintana next on WLS AM 890.
Surratt Marciano, 10 a.m. to noon weekdays on WLS AM 890, Chicago's news, talk, evolved.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We got White Sox baseball coming up at, well, we'll start the pregame show at 5:35. White Sox will host the Mariners for game 2 of a 3-game set. Sox lost last night 4-2. Just couldn't quite come up with enough offense against James Paxton of the Mariners. He struck out 9. Looked real good doing it, too. The Mariners bullpen came in through clean relief. Tony Zick, Nick Vincent, and Edwin Diaz all looked good. James Shields pitched okay. Did get hit with a home run by Robinson Cano. Went 6, gave up 4, 3 walks, 1 strikeout. Kept him in the ballgame, to be sure. Just not enough of the bat work against a talented Mariners pitching staff, at least last night. 312-591-8900 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. That's 312-591-8900. Talking a lot about the trade of Jose Quintana, of course, this afternoon. Not the only trade the White Sox have made since the All-Star break came to an end. Well, almost came to an end. I suppose it was the last day of the All-Star break. The White Sox today acquired a young minor league infielder from the Texas Rangers in exchange for international signing bonus pool money. This per the press release. The infielder's name is Jason Irizarry. It's a difficult name to look at and pronounce at the same time. It's spelled, now remember, Jason Irizarry. His first name is spelled Y-E-Y-S-O-N, Jason. His last name is spelled Y-R-I-Z. A-R-R-I, Y-R-I-Z-A-R-R-I, and that's pronounced Irizarry. He's 20 years old, hitting .258 with 19 doubles, a triple, and 7 home runs for Class A Down East and Class A Hickory. He's split his season between those two organizations and ranked by MLB.com as the number 17 prospect in the Texas organization. So that move was just made today. As for the larger move, the one that has pretty much the entire baseball world talking and wondering if the trade deadline, well, really the moves and rumors and everything are about to take off because the trade of Jose Quintana has kind of pushed the wheel down the hill some. That one we're going to talk about quite a bit over the next hour and a half or so. And I wanted to do this earlier in the show, but we had a couple of phone calls. That's more than welcome. No problem at all. You want to chime in, it's your show. We urge you to do it. 312-591-8900. However, we wanted to play this a little earlier, and I suppose we'll do it right now. Rick Hahn, the general manager of the ball club, had the press conference, conference call, I suppose, right after the trade was made, just a couple hours, in fact. And just his initial comments on Q, on why the trade was made, on why it was made with the club it was made, and on the prospects that the White Sox are getting in return, and Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, not to mention Matt Rose and Bryant Fleta, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. We're still going to work on that. Fleta, I believe. the four guys in return. I thought it was pretty important to hear from a White Sox fan perspective in case you'd missed it earlier. Here is the general manager of the ball club, Rick Hahn, on the initially on the trade of Jose Quintana.
Frankly, it's incredibly difficult to trade a player like Quintana, perhaps even more so because of the type of person he is and what he's meant to this organization. He was the guy who many different elements of this organization took great pride in, from the scouts who recommended him as a minor league free agent, to the front office guys that helped sign him, to the player development coaches and the major league coaches who helped Q unlock his potential and become one of the most desirable pitchers on the market right now. The Cubs are getting not only a great pitcher who's going to, we expect, thrive for them, but also a tremendous clubhouse presence and a great person. It's not easy to let someone like that walk out the door. However, we do feel that we are closer to achieving our long-term goals than we were yesterday. We feel in this package of prospects that we received today, not only was far and away the best offer, best possibility that we've discussed with any club since we started this process, roughly a year ago or so, but it's one that allows us to continue to add to the prospect base that we've accumulated in a potentially high-impact way. Obviously, everyone's familiar with Eloy from his time with the Cubs. We view him as one of the most exciting prospects in the game today, potential middle-of-the-order impact bat, plus bat speed, feel for the barrel, uses the whole field and the tools to be a plus defender on the corner. It's not every day you get access to a potential talent like this. Usually it occurs only via the top of the draft or international moves, like similar to what we did with Luis Robert a few weeks back. But moving a player like Quintana gives you the opportunity to add talent like this, as well as Dylan Cease, who was a player that we coveted in the draft as well. However, the Cubs beat us to the punch in getting him done for the, I believe it was $1.5 million when they took him in the sixth round. He's got a potential front end of the rotation starter, 3+ pitches, and tremendous makeup. The other two players, Latte, whose name I'm maybe butchering, and I apologize to him in person when I talk to him, and Rose are interesting prospects and guys who are still developing and will help round out our system. But we certainly feel we've added additional impact talent to the organization, and again, we feel we're closer to our long-term goal of putting ourselves in a position to go on an extended run and contend for multiple championships here in the not-too-distant future, hopefully. So with that, any questions, if anyone has any?
Rick, Bruce Levine from WSCR Radio. Was your intent as an organization, to make sure that you got two top players? Here you got the top pitcher in an organization, top position player in an organization. Was that your intent and your goal all along before you would trade
Well, our intent was to get the best possible package of talent back, guys that we could project to be not only potential contributors to a championship club, but impactful talent on a championship club. We didn't limit ourselves to saying we have to have the number one and number two prospect in a specific organization. Instead, we tried to craft what we felt was an appropriate cutoff line for what we felt was a fair return for a player of Jose's talent and control. Ultimately, it did yield not only this offer that we took from the Cubs, but others that we felt were above that line here in recent days. But ultimately, the Cubs deal was far and away the most attractive given the potential impact of the front end of the deal.
Rick, this is Dan Hayes from CSN. How long did it take for all this to come together?
Well, Theo and I exchanged text messages shortly after the draft. It's more of a general checking in what needs and fits may potentially exist between the two clubs, and that really didn't lead to much more interaction until a couple of days ago, actually, Sunday morning. I reached out to Theo to express that I felt that something was going to happen with Q here in the coming days, and that would have a fairly clear sense of what it would take for them, and if they were interested, then now was the time to engage.
That is the general manager of the White Sox, Rick Hahn, talking just a day or two ago, 2 days ago, about the trade of Jose Quintana to the Chicago Cubs. I have a list of former trades in the history of the organizations made between the White Sox and Cubs. We'll probably get to that a little bit later on in the show. Want to bring you comments and reactions from Derek Holland and Todd Frazier, two of the leaders on this ball club, guys who have been here for a little while and worked with Q closely in the case of Holland and Frazier. Of course, really, Holland, I think, put it best yesterday, and you'll hear him say it in just a few, when he said that this was Jose Quintana's house. And Q was incredibly nice to Holland and others who had come in over the last, 12 months or so, and he'd shared it with them. But this place was Q's. And while he wasn't, necessarily the most vocal of guys, I think his work ethic and determination, doggedness, all kind of spoke to the type of guy that's a leader by example and not necessarily your vocal, your rah-rah type. With Q, too, and I can't say it enough, the guy's work ethic is unparalleled. The way he went about his business, the way he improved from where he came from, a minor league free agent, none of those guys make it in the big league. It doesn't happen. And here he is, one of the top 15 guys in baseball. I think, as Rick kind of mentioned too, Rick Hahn mentioned in his comments we just heard, kind of a testament to the White Sox development program, to the coaches through the system here, to Don Cooper. And you'll hear from Coop a little bit later on in the show about working with Jose Quintana. But as Coop will tell you later on too, he's of the opinion that Jose Quintana was bound and determined to get as much out of his God-given ability as he could possibly get. And that kind of determination just doesn't happen. That's forged within yourself. It's a difficult thing to forge. Come to celebrate Christmas in July on Friday, July 28th, when the Chicago White Sox take on the Cleveland Indians at 7:10 p.m. Be sure to stay for the postgame fireworks. They're presented by the Atletico Physical Therapy Company. Atletico Physical Therapy, it's better for everybody. Purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. More to go here on the White Sox Weekly Show that's covering the latest from the Jose Quintana deal just 2 days ago. Your phone calls at 312-591-8900. And, of course, baseball coming up later tonight. We'll start the pregame show at 5:35. I'm Connor McKnight. This is WLS AM 890.
News, talk, evolve.
Hey, guys, don't change a thing.
WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We've been talking most of the afternoon about the White Sox trading Jose Quintana to the Cubs. Kind of a big deal. I mean, let's call it what it is. It is a very, very big deal. And the acquisition of young talent continues for the White Sox, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it continues to continue. That's a sentence you want to take home. But I don't think that there are I think there are a number of teams looking to acquire a couple of ballplayers that may improve their rosters. General Manager Rick Hahn has mentioned it a number of times that they're open for business here at Guaranteed Rate Field and that there are players to be had, quality players to be had, and deals to be made. We'll see if some of those players are of the infield variety. Todd Frazier's name has been attached to some trade rumors for the last, 48 hours or so in real earnestness, or some earnestness, I should say. Not the kind of realness that you got to report that a deal is going on or anything or do some work, but since the season has started, I think Todd Frazier's name has popped up a little bit, and he's mentioned it, talked about it yesterday, and you'll hear from him today. He likes the trade rumor part of things. He doesn't mind when his name's in there. It's kind of, I don't know, I'm probably putting words in, exhilarating, I guess, a little bit. He knows that when your name's in rumors, you're doing something pretty well, and Todd has been playing pretty well of late since the month of June, slugging over .500. Batting average right about the .250 mark or so. Did not have a hit last night, so probably down just a little bit from there. But the on-base percentage is pretty good, around the .330 mark. Hitting a couple of home runs and be a big part of this ball club. Even up to the last couple of series against the Rockies and against the A's, a handful of doubles, a couple of runs batted in, a dinger, too. Todd's been hitting it pretty well. As to the young talent the White Sox are acquiring, it continued on Thursday with Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez. And I was just looking through the numbers here, and I'll just do the MLB.com rankings, right? They're easy to get to. Everybody can get to it. They're not behind a subscription wall or anything like that. So it's just out there. But know that there are a number of different publications, smart people who look at this stuff and have ranked it just a little bit differently. But I think it's a pretty decent representation of the White Sox top. Well, they do the top 30, but I'll do the top 20 for you just real quickly here, right? So I'm looking through the top 20 White Sox prospects. From one, Yoan Moncada, a name White Sox fans are intrinsically familiar with at this point, to Trey Miocheski, who's at 20. A name White Sox fans likely know as well. He'd had a really good Arizona Fall League two falls ago, and since battled a little bit, trying to get things back together. But I believe of late, or most lately, with the Birmingham Barons, he bounced up and down a couple of levels. But for these top 20, right, I'll run through these names somewhat quickly. I know that a segment full of just names is really good listening, but I want to make a point here, so hang with me. One is Yoan Moncada. Two, Eloy Jimenez. Three, Michael Kopech. Four, Luis Robert. Five is Lucas Giolito. Six, they've got Ronaldo Lopez. Seven, Carson Fulmer. And eight, Dylan Cease. Zach Collins, the catcher, is nine. Zach Birdie, who will likely have to have Tommy John surgery, is 10. Rick Hahn telling us that yesterday. Number 11 is Luis Alexander Basabe, acquired in the Chris Sale deal. Number 12 is Alec Hansen. 13, Dane Dunning. He came over in the Eaton trade. 14, Spencer Adams, young man the White Sox drafted a few years back. Charlie Tilson, 15. Jordan Stevens, 16. Alex Call, 17. Jameson Fisher, 18. Adam Engel, 19. Number 20 is Trey Miocheski. So I'm going to go through those top 20 real quickly here and just tell you this. Trey Miocheski, Adam Engel, Jordan Stevens, and Spencer Adams, and Carson Fulmer are five of the top 20 prospects that were in the White Sox system 14 months ago. The rest of them, all new. The reshaping and rescoping of this minor league system of what is, and I read a while back, a few years ago, I think, a piece on Baseball Prospectus that took the Brewers' top farm system in baseball from, let's call it the early 2000s, right? The one that had Prince Fielder and Tony Gwynn Jr., the one that had, you know, those, let's see, who else would have been a part of it? A few pitchers that didn't quite pan out, but, you know, big names, Ryan Braun in part of that whole system, too. It was one of the best systems in all of baseball. It panned out, the way they had looked through it, it panned out to grab so much value for the big league club. And no, it didn't end in a World Series title for the Brewers, but they made a pretty good run with acquiring CC Sabathia. And that's how you have to look at this, too. Not all these prospects will turn out to be big league players. That's well known. But even in the case of, I mean, look at where the Cubs, the team that the White Sox traded Jose Quintana to, look at what they did with those prospects. They're pushing now. Their gas pedal is to the floor now. And those part of those prospects they acquired helped them get top-end talent in Jose Quintana. And now the White Sox have some of that top-end talent in Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease to go along with a lot of other top-tier talent that they've acquired. Wanted to bring you here before we, looks like we may have pushed it a little bit too far. We want to get Derek Holland onto the show here, so we'll do that after the 4:30 news. Do want to tell you this, though. The MLB.com at Bat app is your number one mobile app for live White Sox baseball. Stay connected with a fully customizable experience. Get White Sox home screen icons and app features, as well as game day, live game video highlights, radio broadcast, StatCast news, and more. Download MLB.com at Bat today. You can hit us on Twitter, too, at C1McKnight. Scott M. asking a question about when I think Yoan Moncada will go up and how does the roster fit when and if he does, if and when, I suppose. Either way, you want to put those. A couple other questions about when other ball players, other prospects, I guess, move up and into the system. And a question or two, this from Chris, it looks like, on Twitter, about the timetable for Zach Birdie, if indeed he does need Tommy John surgery? We'll find out that soon. And I've got those answers as well for you later on in the show. A few more questions as well pouring in. You can chime in too at C1 McKnight on Twitter. You'll hear from Derek Holland and Todd Frazier just after the 4:30 news. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.